Like, I've played a lot of these songs for a while and then finally get the message after like a couple months of playing it, digesting it, and maybe hearing some of Luke's life stories. And then like, oh, now I can see that subtext underneath of the lyrics, even though I played the song and heard it plenty of times, recorded half of the first album myself.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned, a music business podcast that is dedicated to bringing you the best information for making your way as an artist, musician, or songwriter in the music industry. We provide professional advice from unprofessionals. Today we have the wonderful opportunity to bring a local new grass band, Neighborhood Folklore, onto the show and talk with them about their journey as a band. In this band, you'll also see the familiar face of Christian Hanna, who has been on our show in the past as he talked about venue management and artistry in his own personal life. However, today is all about the band. Neighborhood Folklore is an excellent group based out of the greater Nashville area and brings wonderful instrumentation and creative songwriting to the newgrass genre. As always, we hope you enjoyed this interview. And if you do, do us a favor and hit that like and subscribe and hit the bell. That way you'll be notified Friday when their live in studio session comes out, where they do an exclusive performance of Luxury Problems for us here on the podcast. And do yourself a favor and share this podcast with one friend that you think will enjoy this so you can have healthy conversations along with us here at Successfully Unsigned. Let us know your thoughts and comments here on YouTube, on Spotify, on Instagram, on any social media and streaming platform at Successfully Unsigned or at Unsigned Podcast on TikTok.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned. Y'all, today we have another interview for y'all, and you may recognize a very familiar face, Mr. Christian Hanna of Neighborhood Folklore. What's your name?
Lance Martin.
Luke Newbold.
And there are a couple other members, and you may see one other one in a little performance we'll be putting together. So we have Neighborhood Folklore on today, which I'm so excited. You guys have some great music.
Thanks.
And just excited to kind of hear the story of y'all's band and the story behind each of y'all. So, Luke, let's start with you. Like, kind of what's your origins with music and everything, and just your history with music.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I mean, of course. This is a lot of fun. Thank you guys for coming on.
I've never done a podcast before, so.
Loser.
Yeah. So, I grew up, so I front the band.
Okay.
And I grew up listening to a lot of rock music and a lot of, but my parents were really sort of uniquely into newgrass. Not bluegrass.
Okay.
But newgrass. They loved Alison Krauss and were aware of Sam Bush. And then they loved Nickel Creek. And so those are, but I loved Aerosmith and Creed and some of those mm-hmm. bands and Radiohead. Mm-hmm. But in any case, so some point we all played music together as a family and I picked up the bagpipes and.
That's a cool instrument.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of random. So many bagpipe jokes get thrown around. It's like banjo and bagpipe jokes.
I was going to say, have y'all like thought of including some bagpipes in one of your songs?
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, we do. Okay.
We're in there.
I apologize. I'm not very good at knowing which instruments are which. Like Dale was talking about an accordion in a song we were listening to, and I was like, oh, I guess I didn't realize that was an accordion. So.
Yeah, it's in there. We do it live as well.
Okay.
But it's
I remember that now.
Yeah,
okay,
see?
Yes, I
yeah,
do remember that now.
Out.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, so we all played instruments and then you know, I guess at some point a few short years ago, I was kind of like, "Hey, I want to put together this band that's mm-hmm. sort of a mixture of what I like to do."
Mm-hmm.
And I started hunting musicians and then looked into some great ones, a couple of them here right now, and then a couple other great ones too that aren't here. Mm-hmm. But sort of like bluegrass-ish, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really have much of a plan except to go hunt musicians, and it sort of evolved along the way.
Okay, so, and like what? How long? I forget. How long have you lived in Nashville?
Well, I've lived in Nashville full time. Post college in 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what brought you here? College?
No. What brought me here was my job. I teach tennis as
okay.
a job.
Gotcha.
And so I'm at a club over across town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lance? The Luxury Problems video.
Yes.
That makes a little more sense.
We're going to talk about that video. I love that video.
Really? That has nothing to do with my job.
Oh, right. Of course not.
Is this thing on?
Okay, Lance, what about you? What's your kind of background in history and music?
Started playing guitar as a teenager and didn't have any ambition to do it other than a hobby. And kind of got into college and realized, like, I really do want to pursue this more than just as a hobby. So I got into blues and then jazz. And then I decided, like, well, if I'm going to do this for real, I probably need to, like, study it. So I went back to college after I graduated and studied jazz guitar. And I thought I was going to be the next John Scofield. And then I graduated and I was like, well, I live in Kentucky, so that's going to be difficult. You know, there's not a big jazz scene in Kentucky, mainly known for bluegrass. Yeah. So I started expanding and playing a little bit of banjo in the studio. And then word got around that I played banjo. So then I started getting calls for, like, country music gigs on guitar. And then started playing Louisville. And then I started meeting Nashville musicians. And I started playing in Nashville. And then started adding instruments to the repertoire, like pedal steel and dobro, and then just kind of made sense to jump in, go full time, move here, and do the country music thing. So,
So
I ended up in Nashville in 2018 as a utility musician, just playing with everybody. And one of our mutual friends connected Luke and I. This was like right around the pandemic, because he was looking for a banjo player. And Luke was like, hey, man, he said the magic words. Like, you want to grab coffee? I was like, I love coffee. So so that's all I need to hear.
Shout out to Thomas Wingate, by the way.
Yeah. So we met up, and then Luke gave me, like, a terrible description of what he was trying to do. He was like, yeah, man, I don't know what I want to do. It's not bluegrass. It's not rock. Still it's not true. Anything that I know. I don't even know how to describe it. I was like, I'm in. So we started. So we started, you know, doing what we could, like, as COVID restrictions were in place and lifting. So we were doing some remote recording. And I think the first couple songs we all recorded, like, alone and pieced it all together. And then we kind of, you know, finally got the opportunity to get in the studio together and realize, like, oh, yeah, maybe this is, like, a better way to do it. So we kind of found a home at a little studio in East Nashville. And it's kind of been our little creative oasis. So became more of a band, I would say, in that regard. Right. Yeah. After, you know, we started actually working together instead of, you know, just kind of all doing our things in, like, our own laboratories. So.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
Christian, go watch Christian's episode on on our page. I'm kidding.
No, good.
I actually want to hear. Well, and once again, Christian was in ballet. Like, that was the start of it all. But I still love that. Like, I love that ballet fact about you. Y'all need to go listen to Christian's episode.
Yeah, because on this, Successfully Unsigned?
Yeah.
What's he doing while you play bagpipes? He could be doing, like, a routine.
He's really doing some interpretive dance.
Man.
Spice up our performance.
I don't want to steal the show. This is Luke's band, you know.
Well, it used to be. It's a mutiny. We're probably here today to tell you this.
Hey, man.
We are the interpretive dance band formerly known as Neighborhood Folklore.
Yes. Yes. No, but I do want to hear, because we didn't really talk too much about the band since we knew we were going to be doing this. Mm-hmm. So what was kind of, other than, maybe Luke said most of it, but what was kind of your involvement? What was kind of your drive to want to join this and all of it?
Sure. So I actually met Luke through his brother, who is our mandolin player, but he lives out in Redding, California.
Yeah, so not right close by.
Yeah.
Boo.
A lot of remote recording. Boo, Zach.
Loser.
By the way, Luke was mentioning his family. They are the most sarcastic siblings I have ever met.
Really?
I felt like I was family because they just immediately started roasting me as soon as I met them.
What came for the chicken or the egg? Yeah.
Who am I? Are you calling me a chicken? You call me a chicken. No, so I played with Zach, actually, him and his wife, at a few worship nights. He was playing violin and she was playing piano. And I actually ran sound for them one night and it was beautiful, great music. I said, oh, I'd love to jam sometime. We did a few nights. And then they moved to California. COVID happens. in October of 2020 is when I get a call from Zach saying, hey, my brother wants to play some music. He's searching for a bass player. Would you like to meet him? I said, okay. And Luke said the magic words, you want to have some dinner.
And you love dinner.
And I love dinner. Dinner over coffee. Yeah. Every day. Yeah. So actually we just met up and jammed a couple times. And then we tried to record one song at my house, which was an utter disaster. That's how all great bands start, right?
Okay.
Gotta have a really bad song you first recorded, and that is lost in the trash recycling bin. You can't find it on Bandcamp. Maybe.
Go find the lost song, as well as the lost episode of Successfully Unsigned.
Yeah, so you never know who you're going to meet. You jam with one person, they invite you to meet their family, and then the whole band starts from there. You know,
so that's amazing.
It was interesting, an interesting sort of connection. But yeah, what I particularly like about it is everyone sort of comes from a different place musically, but creatively it sort of jives really well. And so, yeah. But we all sort of come from the same, how do I mean this?
A few of us are from Kentucky.
Yeah, that's why I started to get tripped up here.
A good portion of us are from Kentucky.
Yes, so most of us.
That's the glue.
Yes, creatively we come from different places. That's what I'm trying to say. I got tripped up. I was like, actually, we all come from the same place.
Just take a sip of water.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so did you and your family like, Did you guys just kind of jam together growing up, or did you guys do anything kind of official?
Nothing official. There was some jamming, you know, but it wasn't a ton of jamming because my sister played cello. Actually, she started out with us in an early gig.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she's a great cellist. She moved. And so, so she played cello. I was self-taught guitar. And Zach played a lot of things. He plays mandolin and violin, and he played drums back in the day too. So there's a little jamming, but not really anything official.
Okay.
Yeah. We tried here and there, but it never really worked. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then your last member, Rachel, how does she fit into all of this?
Other than my brother, who's not here.
Right.
Rachel fits in she fits in perfectly as far as I'm concerned. But how she fits in logistically was she. We had a girl who did some recordings for us, great violinist, a girl named Louisa Marion, and then she's on some of our songs, actually. But then at some point, she left us.
Yeah, she figured out what we were doing.
Finally,
and I was like, "Yeah, all right."
She didn't get coffee or dinner.
So anyway, she did just find other things to do and got busy and so on. And so I did, you know, thanks to technology, which I don't really like too much, but it brought us Rachel. Anyway, I got on Google and I was like, Nashville violinists help. And, and I just started going through people and I made a lot of calls. And then finally I found, through someone, I can't remember the name of this fellow. But anyway, someone passed me her number and said, hey, you need to try. And it was a handful of people. And I tried them all. And then she was kind of the great fit, you know, and played a first show with us, learned all the material real quick in like a couple of days. And there wasn't a lot of material at the time. But it worked out great. And that's where it is right now, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and me and Dale, like I was telling you, me and Dale were at your first show at the Laundry Room.
Yeah, awesome.
If you want to hear more about the Laundry Room, check out Christian's episode. And
all roads lead to Christian.
All roads lead to Christian's
episode.
But I mean, I remember watching on. I was like very, very impressed. So I'm glad that it's kind of coming full circle, and we're getting to interview y'all. Okay, so the big question: what is the significance of the name of the band name?
Well, I wrote a song several years back called Neighborhood Folklore.
Okay.
And it was actually just sort of about how, I don't know how deep you want me to get here, but
no, you're, yeah, go
it was about, however. It was about how a lot of the greatest things that are done for people and for humanity are lost in like the local folklore of things. But all the, but everyone, you know, a lot of the people, I'm being vague, sorry. You can have a guy out there feeding the homeless children or whatever, and no one's ever going to know his name or anything like that. And then okay. you have people maybe in a public sense who are doing less mm-hmm. than feeding the children and clothing the needy and so on and so forth. And they're going to go down in history somehow. So I kind of liked that, the yeah. duality of that. And so I just wrote a song called Neighborhood Folklore.
Yeah.
And then at some point I was like, well, I don't know about the song as much anymore, but what's a cool band name?
Yeah.
And so I just went, what I always do is I go and I Google it first
right.
to see if it exists. No, I couldn't find anything about mm-hmm. it at the time. This was years ago. So I thought, I just went and bought the domains and everything. And I was like, I'll sit on a while. And then years later, I was like, ah, maybe I'll use it.
Yeah.
And that's where it is. It gets a lot of compliments though. People come up to me and like, oh, I love that name. So, yeah. Yeah.
I think it's perfect. To me, it's something that like, instantly when you hear it and then you hear the music, you're like, yeah, that's exactly what I thought of.
Interesting.
When I heard the name. So but I love the story behind it too, because you never know, like with a band name, it could literally be like, I don't know, we just kind of put it in Google and figured it out, or like yeah. we just kind of were naming a bunch of words.
Sure.
Or sometimes it has like a really deep meaning. So that's
I've
really
never
cool.
thought about it until you asked me, actually. I just was like, oh, that's a cool name.
Yeah, so, no, yeah. But I think it works really, really well.
Thanks.
Well, we know it's unique because GoDaddy tried to buy the domain from us not too long ago.
Yeah, that's 1,200 cool. bucks.
We should have sold it, dude.
You're like, we can find a new yeah. name.
Payout. Everybody gets a payout.
Yeah. But man, that clears a lot of stuff up for me too, because when we met for coffee, I thought I was joining a song, not a band. So I was like, yeah, that's happy to know that I'm in a
Lance,
band.
Life
yeah.
is one big song.
That's buddy. Right.
Life is a song.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So real quick too, can I ask, so you talked a little bit about guitar, but what about singing? Like, how'd you get into singing?
Oof. I wouldn't call myself a singer.
Okay.
But I just always grew up singing.
Okay.
And mainly what I did is grew up harmonizing to just tracks I loved. And gotcha. So that's what sort of instinctively came.
Okay.
And then, but the voice is some, I did have some vocal lessons a few years ago. Maybe they helped, but.
You should get your money back.
Should have sold the domain.
1,200, man. Can you believe that? Yeah. I was like, what? Hold on to this thing. All things appreciate. No, but so, yes. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so then I just started trying to improve it. And then I mm-hmm. realized, I actually have always liked the idea of having other singers. But then for some reason, the way I write, my style is kind of unique. Not necessarily, I'm not saying it's great, but it is unique at least. And it just sort of works, I think, with what I do
gotcha.
For now.
Gotcha.
Who knows? I mean,
yeah.
Successfully unsigned.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And unsuccessfully unsigned. What is
no, you got it. You got it. You got it. Actually, that's pretty good. Most people think that is what it's called. Or they get like tripped up. There's like a lot of U's and a lot of S's.
Oh, no, I knew what it was called. Yeah. I was just, yeah.
So, and it's just you and Rachel who sing, right? No one else sings
it? My brother will sing sometimes.
Okay yeah. gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
They won't let me sing.
I'm sorry, Christian.
Got the mic.
I feel like you've lived every life, but I guess not singer. I feel like that's your next move. Next song.
Vocal lessons.
Okay, so I do want to talk about the album, but before we get into that, can we talk about your first two singles on Spotify, at least that I found? So the first one that I saw was Lily May, which was live.
Oh my!
In 2021,
need to pull that down.
February of 2021. Well, see, I literally
sold the domain.
I really enjoyed that. That's gonna be the name of this episode. Sell the domain.
Sell the domain. Sell the domain.
That's actually a good name. Yeah.
Or would you like to buy neighborhoodfolklore.com?
It's for sale.
You gotta be 1,200 though.
Yeah, 1,200 or more. start auctioning.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I actually really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the song. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Where was it performed? Was that at the laundry room?
That was my brother and I did that in his house at some point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that wasn't actually meant to go. I'm glad you told me. I might go pull it down. But that was actually sort of a test to see if I could put something on Spotify years ago.
Yes, I think we on the internet. It loaded.
Oh, my God.
I just upgraded from dial-up. How does this work? So, I uploaded that to just see. I was like, okay, I'll create a neighborhood folklore profile just to see if all this could work somehow. And then I just left it because I didn't know if the profile would delete if I got rid of the song. So, and now there it is. I guess.
Okay. Well, yeah. And that was my next question. Like, why a live song for your first single? But that makes sense now. Yeah. Can I ask, do you guys still perform that song at all?
No.
Never played it. I don't even know. They're
like, what is Lily Mae? Who is Lily Mae?
Do we have a Spotify account?
I was like, dude, are you in the wrong neighborhood folklore profile?
Yeah, right.
Who is Lily Mae?
Who was Lily Mae?
Oh, man. Now we're going deep.
Oh,
Lily Mae is a local artist that's actually super good. So you guys should all check out this local artist. Well, years ago, I went down and I just was, looking for something to do. I just moved back to Nashville or moved in an area and not back to Nashville, but, and I saw her perform and I was like, oof, this girl has it all. And so anyway, I just ended up asking her out and she said, no, she had a boyfriend at the time, but I had written that song. It's kind of like an exhaust pipe to get that moved on. And, yeah, so that's Lily Mae.
Lily Mae, can you come on out? I actually looked.
It's like, cool.
There's nothing there, buddy.
Just some drama. Just a hole. Do you know if she's ever heard the song?
I passed her the song on a tape, on a CD, but I doubt she ever heard it.
Oh, man.
Just before or after you asked her out?
While.
Oh, so it was kind of the process.
It was the I doubt this is going to work, but you just got to shoot a shot sometimes, you know?
Leave in the comments, have you ever written a song for a girl, gave it to her, and gone out with her afterwards?
You were hoping this would be your Hey There, Delilah.
It didn't work.
Man, okay, so that answers some questions, because so the next
my band is knowing me now all of a sudden.
Starting to figure out what I committed to.
We're finding out ballet, Lily Mae, whole lots of things, lots of new song ideas.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so then the next single was Are You Listening, which came out last August, so roughly about a year ago. And I had on here Why the Big Gap, but so since that one was kind of a tester, was this song kind of really your first single / getting the band together and everything?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. And then you guys had a music video for that. So can you guys kind of talk about that?
Go ahead, somebody.
Sure. Well, can we give a big shout out to our engineer, Kylie Sager, who is on tour with Sam Bush right now.
Okay.
As his monitor engineer.
Shout out.
But we get to have the privilege of recording at 4115 Studios during the nighttime hours, the graveyard shift.
Yeah. Downbeats at midnight.
Downbeats at midnight. Yeah.
No, but really.
And we get out whenever Luke can play his part right. No.
I think we've all hit a 3 a.m. threshold at some point there recording. Yeah.
There's been some loopy talks happening at that studio about, yeah, the 3 a.m. the witching hour.
None of this was the question.
Oh, right. Well,
what are we talking about?
Sets the tone.
Well, music video.
That was the first time we all got into the studio together, right?
Okay.
Was that our first studio recording?
Yeah. It was one of the first, for sure.
Yes, maybe the first where we're all recording in separate rooms live.
Yeah.
Yes. So maybe maybe the first is we did that system.
Yeah. And so we recorded the music and then we tore down all like the separating walls and then we staged the video right there. So we recorded and filmed the video all in one night.
Yeah.
So shout out to Jacob Stevens staying there till like 3 or 4 in the morning with the camera.
Wow.
Ready to film and edit the video. So we basically recorded it live and then mimed. You're seeing the magic behind, you know.
No, we just did it all live.
Yeah, bro. Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. First take, one take Jake's over here, nice. You know.
I think we did a couple extra for the iPhone as well that night. Like it was like a good like 3:30 a.m. and we were just like, let's just do a couple more for the iPhone. I don't know where that footage went, but we were having too much fun. Yeah. Didn't want the night to end.
Yeah. It's all kind of foggy to me.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, that's our first single, first recording. Yeah. Stayed up all night. Also, 4115 has like 40 lamps inside their studio. Yeah. And so we just pulled them all into one room.
Okay.
And then we had to remember where they all went afterwards, which was one of the more difficult
parts. Are there lamps in that video?
Yeah, they're all surrounding
us. Yeah, just all over. Jeez, yeah.
Yeah, and that song was actually very new as well.
Mm.
And it wasn't part of the collaboration that we were working on our album. It was like just a one-off, and I was like, hey, I wrote this. Let's all throw it together and see what happens. And,
okay.
And so it actually, we think it turned out well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. That explains my next question of why those two weren't on the album. It's good to know.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you just wanted a single, and we're like, all right.
Well, I was like, let's put something out. And that song was interesting. I was interested in that song at the time because it was just fresh. You know,
okay.
You know how you write something, and then you're like, oh, yeah, this is great. And
gotcha.
Then you, oh my gosh, Radiohead's guitarist once shoot, I don't want to misquote his name. Oh man, O'Brien. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anyway, he said there are levels that the stages of creativity. Have you guys heard this before? It's so good.
I don't think
Am
so.
I allowed? Can I just go off for a
second?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Go off.
Yeah. So he said there are several stages to creativity. The first one is you write the song, you're like, oh my god, this is great, this is so great, and then the second one is like, you listen to the song, yeah, it's okay. All right, it's okay. And then the third one is like, this is terrible. How did I even write this song? And then the fourth one is, I'm terrible. how do I do this kind of thing? And then the fifth one is, it's okay. And then you're back to, it's good. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So that song was fresh. And I was like, we got to do this.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Well, speaking of the album, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk all about it.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back to Successfully Unsigned. Debut album. Okay, so last year you guys released your debut album. Was it on Halloween?
Or was
it just around Halloween?
Yeah, okay.
It was on Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay, it was on Halloween. And shout out to Nashville Tour Stop because y'all had like a big release party.
Yeah.
I was there. Me and Lance were matching.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Can't believe y'all called each other and came in matching costumes.
Yeah. But we didn't even know each other. I just called a random number. I was like, hey.
I saw you. I was like, am I looking in the mirror right now?
Guys, so cool. it's the Matrix. It's all a simulation. You're brought together.
True.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just Neo's from different timelines.
You'll have to remind me what your costume was.
I was the greatest that you've ever seen. The undisputed champion. Oh, yeah. You know who I'm talking about. Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah. Actually, it takes a lot of vocal. I gotta warm that up a little. Get a deep. Yeah.
No, for your debut singing.
Are you having gastrointestinal issues?
I would love to do a bluegrass song about Macho Man Randy Savage. That would be a dream.
We're getting a lot of ideas here today.
Oh, yeah.
Macho Man.
Ideas.
Put that in. We're learning a lot.
Yeah. Macho Man.
And then Luke, I forget what you were. I'm sorry.
I like it.
Ooh, yeah. Did I dress up? Was I anything?
Did you dress up?
No, you're too cool. You're just so cool.
I was the lame
one. He was pretending to be a band leader. He's dressed up like a lead singer.
Emphasis on pretending. You can't wrangle these people.
And then I remember I went up to Rachel afterward. I was like, oh, you're a Spice Girl. I love it. She's like, I'm not. She's like, that is a good idea, though.
I think she was a cat.
Yeah.
She was a cat.
And I was like, yeah, you're a Scary Spice. I love it.
Oh, man.
Close enough. Okay, so your debut album from Under the Overgrowth. Love the name, by the way. Do you want to talk about the name at all, or was it just kind of something you came up with?
Sure. I mean, yeah, if you guys want. That was actually oddly... I'm getting nervous. I've never done a podcast. No. So that was actually a dream I had.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll write songs from dreams and sometimes I won't. But yeah, I just dreamed that was what our album was called. So I then got on my Google the next morning and I figured out there was no album called From Under the Overgrowth.
Nice.
And so I was like, well, that's good because it sort of fits the theme of what we were talking about. There's like a little center track in that album. It was a live track. Completely live. The music, my side of it was live. Then we threw in some other live sounds I recorded throughout the city. Mm-hmm. But, and it was sort of how it just sort of this switch between how Nashville in particular has gotten sort of more overrun with pavement as opposed to grass. That's the most simple way to put it. And then I started thinking about how a lot of our songs have themes of sort of old to new, but it's not always a great thing. Sorry, mm-hmm. I don't help me out here. A lot of these songs are like synchrony and like Shropshire is a garden song and how technology is sort of becoming a little prevalent and mm-hmm. I rehearsed this answer.
Clearly.
That's why we don't have a strong online presence.
Right. It's
tapping out.
It's against all the little iPad kids running around. I'm including myself in that. So.
We don't want to bash technology too much because this is a podcast.
Hey,
so well, it's and okay. also like it's allowed us to do what we could not have done this without technology, and we wouldn't have Rachel without technology.
That's true.
Looking at a lot of Luke's writing and songs, there's a lot of subtext to it.
Gotcha.
Plenty of metaphors, and like sometimes you have to like really, like I've played a lot of these songs for a while, and then finally get the message after like a couple months of playing it, digesting it, and maybe hearing some of Luke's life stories, and then like, oh, now I can see
the subtext
underneath of the lyrics, even though I've played the song and heard it plenty of times. Recorded half of the first album myself.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm just starting to get it. So from Under the Overgrowth, there's a lot of things happening on top, but what's happening underneath of it and what's trying to get out.
Right. There we go.
From the distraction and everything
else. I'm sorry, that is a much better answer. But hey, your strength is in the songwriting. So do you write all the songs?
I have so far.
Okay.
But we're wanting that to change. We've talked about that kind of being like, I mean, I feel like when you start something like this and you just pull sort of random people in the beginning stages, you're kind of like, hey, this is what we're going for. This is what we're trying to do. And it's more of like a corralling situation. But then my goal is for it to not be that, you know, to where it's all. And it's definitely gotten more collaborative, I would say, in a production sense along the way. But in a writing sense, it hasn't flipped over yet.
Gotcha.
Maybe the next single.
Yes, it's getting more collaborative. Like at 3 a.m., we tell Lance, can you play like a toy music box? True story.
I love that.
Figure out which song that is.
Toy box.
And he just is like looking at us. Sure.
So can I ask, like, are there certain songs that... Are you like kind of an open book as far as like your songwriting of like, yeah, like this is what it's about, even though they may not necessarily fully know or fully understand? Or are some of your songs like, figure it out?
Am I guarded on them?
Yeah.
I'm not guarded on them.
Okay.
Not too much. I mean, I would happily tell them about what the context of them and the story. Because sometimes I think it helps the creative process of the parts that are put into it, like the instrumentation and such, or the feel of the song, to know what it's about. Yeah, wish they would ask more.
All
So, Luke, how do you feel?
This just goes to therapy session.
Neglected.
Well, why don't you write a song about it? And I'll take 3 months to figure it out. That's and right. then come talk to you.
Okay, can I ask about your album art? Because I really, really like it. Did one of y'all design it, or did someone outside do it?
So total outside. There's this tattoo artist in East called Ben Johnson.
Okay.
He owns Electric Hand Tattoo. And I had been out there before for some things, and I just reached out to him and I was like, hey man, I like your style. I never done anything with him. I like your style. Would you be interested in putting this together for us? And I went out there and met with him, and I had a little sketch, not of that at all. I had a little sketch that sort of tracked that From Under the Overgrowth kind of idea of what's coming up from underneath what we see. And, but I just gave him total creative liberty. And I said, hey man, listen to a few of the songs and, see what you think. And he totally came up with that on his own, no input from me. And I was very hands off in that process, and it turned out just the way I liked.
He did a really good job.
Yeah, he's super. You should check him out.
Yeah, yeah. And go listen to this album if you haven't yet. It's very, very good. And if you want to see the album art, there you go. Go find it. On Spotify, Neighborhood Folklore.
Spotify, YouTube.
Yes, yes.
Is it on Apple?
It's out there somewhere.
It's there.
You should be on Apple.
In my car.
Distro Kids. Lying to me.
Okay, and then I was telling you, so my favorite song is The Gardens of Shropshire. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think. The Garden of Shropshire?
Yes.
The Gardens Garden?
It's plural. I was double checking earlier.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not kidding you. The first time I heard it, I genuinely got chills.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, especially during the, like, climax/bridge/murder. Listen to the album if you want to know what we're talking about. Oh, is there a murder? I don't know. Go find out for yourself. No, but it just, I don't know. I typically don't love like stories like that, but actually I really do. So I don't know why I just said that, but I do love like a kind of old school murder. I guess it's not really a murder ballad, but a murder song of some sort.
Right.
And, yeah, I just wasn't expecting it. And I was like, whoa, it shook me. And I've been listening to it ever since. I prepared this interview a while back. So like that song has been on my repeat for a while. So it's a good one. It's a really good one.
Yeah, thanks.
Was there any just inspiration behind that one, or?
Man, yeah. There's...
He's like,
do you know the story?
I'm actually a convicted felon for murder.
Well, there are two stories here. Okay. I'll tell one of them.
Okay.
That was actually the first song that I wrote for this project.
Really?
Now, I had a couple of the songs that we've already put together written, but this one, I was trying to write pop country and pop songs for a minute, and I wrote, 20 or 30, this good friend of mine put me on this process. He said, write a song a week, send them to me, check back in. So I took 3 months and I wrote a song a week, and I was trying to write something. And every time I would send them to him, he's a big time songwriter. And every time I would send them to him, he would be like, cool, man. Cool. And I was like, well, scratch, move on, right. And then of course, at some point I just kind of got fed up and I was like, man, I want to write a song like this. This is what I want to write. And so I sat down one day and I was like, I want to write this traditional song that could get lost in time. If, how Jack White says something like the best folk songs, at some point, no one even knows who wrote them.
Right.
Which has come true for his song, Seven Nation Army. Like, that's played in every stadium across the world. You think that someone down in a soccer stadium on the other side of the globe goes, oh, this is Jack White of the White Stripes. And I mean, they're just up there going, oh. Yeah. So I went out, set out to write something like that could survive sort of a folksy bluegrass type thing.
Okay.
And then I sent it to my friend and he was like, oh my gosh, where'd this come from? This is amazing. why are you not writing like this? And I was like, well, I guess that's that. Because I'll put down the cover country stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. It reminds me of, I think it's called like the Banks of the Ohio or something like that. And like, I first listened to this song when I was like 11. And like, it gets pretty gruesome at points.
Yeah.
And where I was like, oh my goodness. It was my uncle who was listening to it. I was like, are you okay? Like, what's going on?
Well, this song's actually not gruesome, right?
It's not.
So that's another thing that I intentionally wanted to do. I was like, I've heard 1,000 murder songs, and it's always like Billy shot Johnny with a gun and you know, whatever. And I was kind of like, no. I want this to be sort of implied if it happened.
Yeah.
And I wanted the instruments to do kind of the talking. So you talked about that build up section, and that was really my goal for that. To start telling a story that seemed very sweet and kind, and it led you a direction, and then at some point the instruments told a different version.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I like it was like doing that part that like gave me chills, and then the last line, it's like where all the roses grow red. I was like, oh shit, like it was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. I adore that song.
Thanks,
truly.
Man.
Do you remember your niece at the show? Oh, what she said? Yeah.
This was a kid friendly venue at his place, and at some point,
your niece is like 11 at the time, or
and
something?
She has a little brother who's 10, like back to back. These are Zach's kids, our mandolinist kids,
Okay,
and go ahead. I can't remember.
I can't remember exactly, but it's like Zach was like, do you know what that song is about?
Oh, no. They got in the car after. They were on the way home.
They're on the way home. Yes. That's what it was.
And the girl who's, I do remember now, and the girl looked at the brother because he was like singing that song or something. And she looked at him and she goes, she goes, you know, he was murdered, right? And I don't know what the response was to that, but my brother told me that afterwards.
That's so
show
funny.
At some point.
It's just so funny, like, because it's not explicitly said in the song.
No, she had to put that together.
And then,
I mean,
but she explicitly said it to her brother. Like, you know, he died. He just murdered. Yeah, she's spunky for sure.
I love that.
She's
I
smart.
Love it
she's
so
a smart
much.
Kid. Yeah.
Okay, and then I feel like the kind of big one is Luxury Problems. So you were talking about the music video. I said I really love that song. I was talking to you a little bit before. It seems like a lot of people really enjoy that song. I feel like it's kind of y'all's big song, and the music video is a lot of fun. Like, it's very enjoyable to watch. It kind of gave me like Wes Anderson vibes is really what it gave me.
Cool.
I can see that. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
Christian knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, you know Wes Anderson movies? Rushmore. Actually, Luke doesn't know any movies.
Golly,
he failed
man.
To mention he's homeschooled. I don't know if that has anything to do with
definitely.
It.
Definitely.
Yeah, I was homeschooled definitely. Through high school.
And I wasn't homeschooled, so I spent a lot of time watching movies instead.
Yeah. Eighth
and,
grade through high school.
Yeah. We'll show you like some screenshots or something, but like it is a very like similar vibe. Is that
another Jacob Stevens
thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So can you like talk a little bit more about the song? I know we were talking about it a little bit before the show, but
sure. Doing all the talking. You guys want to jump in and say something about it? Lance, what's your take?
It's about fancy things and the problems they cause.
Did anyone get like hit with a tennis ball on accident?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean we were getting blasted the whole day, and we had a big like tennis ball fight, and yeah, there's a lot of B-roll that you guys didn't see. Probably do a secondary video behind the scenes.
Yeah, I got hit with some tennis balls, of course. Well, I mean, look, that song is relatively self-explanatory if you listen to it.
Yeah.
Go check it out, kids. And but the video is sort of adjacent.
Right.
I didn't really actually write it about that. It just sort of, there's some overlay there.
Right.
But yeah, it's actually really just about a girl.
Lily Mae.
Not Lily Mae.
Come on out.
No, and I was telling him, like, any of y'all know, like, I worked in interior design around the same area as he works as well. And I was, the first time I listened to that. So I had heard it before, like, y'all performing, but I don't always, like, fully pick up on, like lyrics or anything whenever I'm listening to someone perform. But then like when I was sitting down listening to the album, I was like, oh, this is very, very relatable. Cause you know, at my old job, like I was running into, you know, people with a lot of money. So, and I would see people cry over, you know, a pillow or rugs or crazy stuff.
You might have a better story explanation for that story than I do.
Yeah. Like I just,
what's the craziest one you had at your store?
I did have like a lady scream at me, even though I wasn't even the designer, just about that she was picking up her couch and she was supposed to have her second pillow and we couldn't find it. And the designer that was doing it, like she wasn't there. So we were like calling her. The lady who cried about a rug, that was actually at my old job.
That's a funny thing. That's an album, cried about a rug.
Yeah, she paid a lot of money for it and it just didn't come out like how she thought it would, which I'm like, I understand being frustrated, but like she was crying to my coworker and my coworker was like, I need you to pull it together. Like, it's really not that serious. She's like, we'll figure it out. We'll get your home still looking pretty. But I mean, yeah, you're dealing with people's homes and, you know, which is a very intimate place. But at the same time, like, it is just decor.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. I don't know. I'm sure if I thought about it for long enough, I could think of some crazier stories.
It's a luxury problem.
It is.
Right.
It really is. Are there any other songs that like really, really, I mean, I'm sure all of them mean a lot to you, but are there any others that you're like, man, this, I really want to talk about this.
I'm forgetting what they are.
I can pull it up.
What about you guys? You like any? Oh yeah.
Do you guys like this? Yeah. Do you like music?
Do you like any of this music?
I mean, I like the brisket parties we have over at your place. That's good.
Yeah.
Chanel, our listening parties are like in a bowl, like iPhone in a bowl.
Yeah.
Because we don't have like any technology at your apartment.
This is exactly true.
So. Our listening party was your little laptop with books set on either side of it for amplification.
Like, this is the album, guys.
This is not a lie.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Chanel the Elephant, Who Is Who, Synchrony, from under the Overgrowth. My Fear Is Gone, Rattle My Bones, and Winnicott.
You weigh in here. Anything? I'm going to force you to say something.
Oh yeah, you go ahead.
I like Playing the Elephant and My Fear Is Gone. Those are my two like I look forward to in the set list.
Yeah, I do. I like My Fear Is Gone a lot.
I'm not sure if I heard the story behind Rattle, because baby, cut with the lingo.
Yeah.
Psycho. You're really going after whoever this person is.
Actually, that is a good point. Yeah, that's pretty deceptive because that song is not about a person. That song is about addiction.
Okay.
Yeah. So, which I can't say I have too much, you know, knock on wood. I don't have currently or previously too much experience with like hard addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some overlap with some folks, and that song was really about that, and like the grip, you just can't let go of it. It won't let you go, and it's like this relationship almost. It's like I saw it as like a relationship, and a toxic relationship, not a good relationship. One of those where unfortunately I've been in where you just can't leave it, and you should, and you go back and forth for a minute, maybe more than a minute. But that's what's behind that. It's not about a person at all.
But then the line, who's going to rattle my bones? Like, what's going to replace it after I overcome this addiction? Yeah. Yeah, that hit hard.
Yeah, but if you go, who's going to rattle my bones? Yeah. Yeah. I would say Elephant's actually probably up there and the most fun to play. That song has a drive to it that I like. And yeah, I like that song.
Well, me and Dale were on our way to a different interview that we did a little while back, and we were listening to her music, and he was like, yeah, it's weird. Like, usually whenever I listen to someone live first and then I hear their music later, I don't realize, like, I don't remember which one's which. Mm. Or I forget how exactly you said it, but basically you were just saying, like, I remember when she performed this song live, now listening to the recording. And I felt the same way about y'all. Like, when I was listening through the album, I was like, even though I listened to the album you know, a little while later, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this song, and I remember this song, and I remember this song. Mm-hmm. So you guys have like a really good, like really good chemistry, really good just synchrony, and just being able to, I guess, really memorable. So
thanks. That's nice, because at that point in that show, I feel like that was one that we were sort of just struggling through. We threw it together, and my brother just was in town. We had no practices with him, I think, for that show, right?
Right, yeah. Came in like day of.
Yeah, so it was just, I'm glad.
Yeah, no, it worked really well.
Don't let them know that, dude. We're professionals, we're great.
Okay, so other than, you know, the band itself, I know some of y'all have, like, well, Christian, we obviously have talked a lot about any of your kind of outside projects, Laundry Room. Go watch the Christian episode. I'll say it a million times. And then Lance, can I say, you play for Pam Tillis?
Yeah.
Okay, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I actually met her before I met you.
Oh, cool.
Because she would come to the old store that I used to work at.
She was not crying about the rug.
She was not crying. I just wanted to hear that.
She's a great lady.
I was like she's not her. Like, let me bash my work, and then I'd be like, yeah, Pam Tillis is actually one of our clients. No, she's actually very, very sweet, and I always enjoyed talking to her, and I would help her with some fabrics and such.
That's awesome.
And then the last time I saw her, I was like, hey, I actually know someone who plays with you. And so she had a lot of great things to say about you.
Oh, awesome.
But that is really cool. Like, you've gotten to play at the Opry. You got to play, it was something, what was it? Some festival recently.
Stagecoach.
Yes.
That was a feather in the cap for sure.
Yeah. So can you kind of talk about like those experiences and, however much you can say.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's top secret.
Okay.
I mean, you know, but it's cool. You know, when I moved to Nashville to play country music, like, I didn't consider that I would ever get to play with like a living legend.
You yeah.
know, especially like the Tillis, like, family heritage
right.
in country music, and how deeply that runs. And you know, it was like the first gig I played with Pam was actually the Grand Ole Opry. It was around this time a couple years ago. My birthday's later this week, but I was out in Kentucky fishing with my family. Yeah. celebrating my birthday and whatnot. And I just got a text on Instagram, you know, DM was like, hey, are you available, you know, Monday for rehearsals, like Labor Day, and then Tuesday Opry, and then, you know, Thursday out in Tulsa. I was like, with Pam Tillis? Yeah, definitely. Right? I just canceled everything else I had going on. And it was like my first gig with her. I was like, well, I hope this goes well. It was my first time playing the Opry too.
Yeah.
And we're in the green room, and it's like the women of country, and you see all like the women, you know, and their black and white photos, and there's like Pam Tillis like on the wall.
That's crazy.
And I was over, and there's like Pam Tillis. I'm like, wow, this is happening.
That's
gotta
crazy.
That's cool. Gotta be a little surreal, yeah.
Yeah. So and then she's kept me around, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm getting, you know, play the Opry a lot with her because she's a member. So mm-hmm. and that's always an honor. And it's always really crazy when I go in there and anyone knows my name. You know, I'm like talking to the sound guys, like, hey Lance, you playing mandolin or anything tonight? Or is it just, I'm like, wait, you know me? You know who I am? Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, we get to do a lot of road dates with her throughout the summer as a full band. And then she does a lot of trio stuff later in the year. Just her and the two girls, violin and keys. And they team up with Lori Morgan in December. So, you know, about 40-50% of her dates are full band. So we get to play on the road with her a lot. And it's a really big joy.
Yeah. So. I always see your Instagram stories. I'm like, that's so cool. And the first time I saw it was shortly after I had met her at the store.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, wait a minute. So, yeah, very, very cool. And what about you, Luke? Do you have any other, like, musical side projects or anything, or is this kind of your main focus?
This is main musical thing, yeah.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Well, the solo bagpipe album, you got to at least...
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I did play bagpipes for funerals and weddings and stuff as, like, a teenager a lot, because it was just, it was easy, and it was a lot of money. I mean, $300 to go play one song. They just want Amazing Grace, or they want something while the bride and groom are walking down the aisle. And then, yeah, that's that.
Cool.
For bagpipes?
Bagpipes, yeah.
Man.
Mainly funerals.
Okay. Profiting off of death. Cool. Yeah, chill.
So not to get too far off topic, but I saw a video.
That's my business.
Shania Twain had a bagpipe player, like, do an intro to one of her songs, and she didn't have to blow into it. She was just like squeezing it with her arm. Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there are different versions of bagpipes.
Sorry, I'm just taking over. Yeah, you know, really wild. I like the bagpipes. Like, you know, I heard of the money involved.
And yeah, we definitely have. I've definitely created interest, I guess. So there are a few different types of bagpipes. There are these big Highland bagpipes, which are the ones you see, the real loud ones that have the three massive drones. And
okay.
I've never played those with us. And then I have those little, they're called small pipes or parlor pipes. And it's like, you could play them in this room and it would be fine. And then there are some, I actually don't know what they're called, but it's like where you control, it's like a billow type thing.
Yeah, you don't have to blow into it.
Yeah, you don't have
to
use a mouthpiece. I've never played those, nor do I own them.
Okay.
So, but I sorry.
No,
there are different versions of them.
Yeah, it was the first time I'd seen that. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
We need a bagpipes podcast from you.
All right, coming up.
That'll be your side project. All right, well, we are going to wrap it up and come back with our third segment.
Hey guys, what's up? It's DJ Patty G. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. If you want to go find more, go to our website, su-podcast.com. We have lots of cool playlists there, whether it be from artists that we've had on the show or with other independent artists from all over the world. Also, make sure to follow us at successfully_unsigned on all of our platforms, as well as Unsigned Podcast on TikTok. You guys will be our best friend if you go rate us 5 stars on all platforms. And if you like and subscribe this video, make sure to keep watching so you can see more of our shenanigans and other tomfoolery. Thanks, guys.
Usually, this is the point where we would do our show and yell, but a certain co-host of ours with long hair and glasses and failed to accomplish that. I failed to mention that to our guest today. but we're gonna play our little Spottle game. So, have you guys ever heard of Spottle?
Never.
No.
Okay. So basically, what it is you're gonna guess an artist, and then it's gonna tell you whether you're close to that. It's gonna say like whether they're male or female.
Oh, I saw you guys did this one.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll start with you, and then it'll hopefully explain.
I don't remember how it goes though.
Well, just give me an artist and I'll.
Any artist. Obscure or not obscure? Like, what do you
probably
think?
Not obscure. They don't really have, like, they're not gonna have Lily Mae on here. Probably.
Okay, Aerosmith.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Which they retired, by the way. I was very bummed about that. I was gonna go to their show in October here in Nashville, and they retired just before. Bummer.
Oh. Let us down, Steven.
Dream on.
Okay, so basically it tells you when they debuted, how many members they have, whether they're solo or a band, their popularity, their gender, their genre, and what country they're from. So whoever the artist is does have 5 members, so it is a band. It's male. I'm assuming all male then. The genre is rock. It is close to the U.S., so I don't know if they're like Canadian or what they mean by that. But their debut is higher than 1973.
All right. So
we're guessing a band.
Yeah, a male rock band with 5 members.
Nickelback.
Are they from the U.S.?
No.
No.
No, okay.
Canucks.
They don't have 5 members.
They have 4 members.
Oh.
Pearl Jam? But they are Canadian. And their debut is higher than 1996.
Is Pearl Jam from...
Oh, wait, we just got new information. Debut is higher than 1996?
Yes.
And they are Canadian?
They are Canadian.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you said 73 higher than 1973.
It is higher than 1973, but it's also higher than 1996. Got it. Now you can go up from there.
Okay, gotcha.
Broken Social Scene? but they have women.
Bad, not good. I don't know that many Canadian bands.
That one is not on there. Bad. Not good. Not on there.
They're not really rock. They're a little more obscure.
We're sinking this section.
It's okay. No, we've kind of cheated before, so it's okay.
Yeah, they can always speed it up too. You know.
Brought to you by BetterHelp.
Canadian bands. I don't really know any Canadian bands.
So it's Canadian. So do I.
Like, well, and there's a chance that like we just know the band, you just don't know that
they're
Canadian.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's true. Right. Yeah.
Maroon 5. That's a good guess.
Are they?
Why would it be called Maroon 5?
They have 7 members. Oh, and they are US. Oh, they're, and US? They're considering them pop. Oh, but the debut is higher than 2002, and now it's saying it's a little bit closer to that. So it's somewhere mid-2000s.
Ooh.
Mid-2000s, man. Five-piece
rock band?
Is
Creed a Canadian band?
Well, higher than 2000s. They weren't they 90s?
Yeah, I think
were
so.
Were they?
Right?
99, I guess. Human Clay. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm referenced that album. It means nothing to me.
I'm glad to know that you know that. Man, sorry. Tapping out again.
Well, you get, there's 10 guesses. So.
Oh.
So it'll eventually
tell us. I
don't
even know what
to guess. Oh, okay. Cool.
Oh.
The Toronto Raptors. No? Is that not on?
Maybe.
No, that's a basketball team, Patrick.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, that doesn't sound like a band name, but... Look, we all know that I am not a sports guy in the slightest.
It could be like an 80s like, hair metal band, though, for sure. Like,
right.
The Raptors opening for Whitesnake.
Right.
Makes sense to me.
Epic fight.
Toronto Rappers.
Drake. Rock band. Canadian bands.
Yeah, I...
Rock, Canadian male rock bands.
Canadian.
Male rock bands.
From the early 2000s, or from the early to mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to just... Now I'm just
trying
to
think
of...
It's higher than 2002, but it's yellow on 2002, so I'm assuming it's close anywhere between, like, 2002 and 2007. Or 2003.
Now I'm just trying to think of any rock band, male five-piece rock band from the early 2000s.
Bro, I'm just trying to think of rock bands at this point from 2000 to...
What? Yeah, wasn't that kind of the end?
You can say
of...
it out loud.
Coldplay.
Oh. They're British.
Coldplay. We phoned a friend.
They're
British. Chris Martin's British.
Coldplay.
It's a good, better guess than we had.
Yeah, it's a guess. It's Imagine guessed. Dragons? They from Canada?
Are they?
Oh, I actually like that. Are they rock?
I think we should. Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, let's try.
Really?
We could do that.
Rock is getting really broad. Like
they're like, U.S. and they have 4 members, and their debut was 2012, and their genre is alternative. So
I should have never picked Aerosmith.
Yeah, but like, didn't they just induct like Salt and Peppa to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh yeah, Eminem's in there.
Like yeah, Eminem. Like why can't we just have like
why can't we
a hip hop and rap Hall of Fame? Like why can't we? Yeah,
someone has
under the overgrowth.
Someone
dude.
Has to hear us first.
Dude, didn't they hear us on Successfully Unsigned?
That's right.
Recognize our greatness. Because we are the greatest unknown band here.
What about Foo Fighters? Are they?
Through the top, yeah.
Foo Fighters, I mean, they're around in the 90s, but
no,
let's just get
Foo
through these
Fighters
guesses.
They actually met in New Zealand, I just saw. Did you send me that?
Nah.
Didn't you send me a post about...
Man.
This one is hard.
I sent you a post about how...
Like, I'm trying to cheat, and I still can't find it.
I was going to guess that too, but...
Queens of Stone Age is good. I like that group.
I like Queens.
Yeah. That's like a Nashville band. Yeah, I think they're Nashville based.
They're like
you're in the right time frame, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, but they're Nashville, you said.
Yeah, they're
the Strokes.
Man, that's like
New York, right?
That's New York.
York and yeah.
Even older, like 80s.
I hope when
the
there's
Strokes?
A big reveal that we actually know the band, right? Or I'm
know,
at least
going
to pretend like I do. But,
just
oh,
guess.
Yeah,
just
those
guess.
Guys.
Just get through these guesses.
The Jerry's. Yeah, I know the
Celine
Jerry's,
Dion.
Dude.
The Beatles.
Cher. I thought they were like Scandinavian or something wild.
You just think of their Arctic in their name.
They're from the UK.
UK.
Okay, lower than 2006, so somewhere in between 2003 and 2005.
Still not helping.
The calling. The call? Wasn't there? What was that band that was like... Yeah, there we go. Yeah, something like that. Seether. They're South African. He's South African.
Saliva.
I'm just a true patriot.
Weird
so
Al
I don't
Yankovic.
Know much about Canadian music. No, Canada does do this cool thing where, like, everything on their radio and TV, or, like, 75% of everything played on the radio or TV is produced from Canadian citizens. Huh. So that's why they actually churn out so much more artists, because they give them a lot more support. Opportunity. Yeah, Tom Green had like a huge rap deal when he was like 19.
Simple Plan.
They didn't.
They're Canadian?
I saw that on there, but I thought they came out in the 90s.
No, that's definitely punk rock phase. Okay. Yeah, I know who Simple Plan is. Yeah. I definitely know who they are.
I had a friend do their accounting.
Really? Huh. I just watched New York Minute with the Olsen twins, and they have a really big part in that.
My life is a nightmare. Yeah. Is that them?
Yeah, that song.
Yeah.
You can relate.
Yeah, Simple Plan since 1999.
Once I met you.
Okay. I guess that's weird. That was a ripoff.
That's why I didn't get it.
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes.
What happens if you have, let's just say, 500 listeners to this podcast, and then when we get to the spottle, it drops down to like maybe 5? What if we sink the listeners?
Is that okay? I mean, that's how we play too. Like, okay. We just are guessing sometimes.
Have we just there sunk was the ship?
First, the one of the first times we played it,
the ship.
We got it like really that. Quick. Yeah, it was
Maritime,
like
time, baby.
It was. I think someone guessed like Harry Styles. Yeah, and I was like, or maybe we guessed One Direction, and I was like, oh, it's 5 Seconds of Summer, because it said like, oh yeah, you're really close, but I was like, okay, who's next? 5 Seconds of Summer.
I don't know.
You guys are open for them.
Right? I don't know who 5 Seconds of Summer are.
Boy band from 2010s.
Five Sauce? You don't know Five Sauce, dude?
There you go. He knows. Yeah. Okay, so what's next for y'all? Like, can we expect any more music? Anything?
Yeah, we're working on some stuff.
You're now. Like, actually, this is it. We're done after this episode.
We peaked, dude. That's fine. Yeah.
We're working on some stuff. We actually have a live video we shot a month ago, maybe?
Yes.
And it's...
Was I in it?
You were there.
In body. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
Yes. You don't remember this?
No.
Yeah. Well, we were in a room.
Okay. Cool.
You had a banjo.
All right. I trust you.
Your hair was perfect.
Oh, thank you.
Rare.
Yeah, we've got a live video coming out soon. We don't have any dates on the live dates on the gigs on the books right now. Live gigs on the books right now.
Live gigs on the date books.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but but we do have a live video coming out soon. We don't have a drop date for it yet, but it's being mixed currently.
Okay. So, yeah. Very cool. Okay. Well, we're actually about to go do our own little live videos, so make sure you catch that. And where can people find y'all?
Nashville
coffee shops,
coffee. That's what I was going places. To. I was about to start naming like specific restaurants and stuff.
8th Avenue,
Rudy's Jazz Room, Lance's House.
That's right. We have a website, right?
No, you can find us on Spotify and YouTube and
Apple Music.
Yeah.
All under
all the distro kids standards.
And do you guys know your Instagram tag?
Yeah, Neighborhood Folklore.
Okay.
Yep, Neighborhood Folklore. Yep. Got there early.
That's why they want to buy it.
$1,200. Any offers out there, go higher. And you guys can, of course, always find us at successfully_unsigned at Unsigned Podcast on TikTok, su-podcast.com. Go watch our episode with Christian. It's one of our favorite ones. And go watch the video that we're about to go do with them and perform.
Thanks so much. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, fellas.
Thanks.